This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
Let's get started.
Lori, why don't you open us in prayer?
Okay. Heavenly Father, I give you so much praise and thanks for this glorious day that you gave us, Father. And Father, I ask that you watch over the members that are on here tonight and keep them safe and healthy, Father. And Father, as we learn your word this night, Father, let us remember, and Father, not just remember your words, Father, but do your words also. And be good to others, Father, and let them see you in us, Father, as we go out for our days and tomorrow and the next day, Father, and forever. Let them see Christ in us, Father, that we will enlighten them, Father, and that they will see the joy of you in us. And Father, I just thank you for all that you have done for the salvation of our families, Father. And I give you so much praise, and I ask that you give Chris the strength, Father, to take care of her mom, Father, because
yes,
she needs it very much, Father, and Phil also for the patients and everything that is involved in that situation, Father. You are in control of that. Father, I thank you. I thank you for everyone that's here tonight, and I just love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Okay. Now, we've had a little bit of a gap in here for about 2 weeks.
A gaptation.
And but anyhow, we're talking about agape love and how it's the opposite of sin. And all of you got your papers?
I got page one of eight right here.
We started on page one. We haven't got off of page one yet.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm just going to read down here what we have so far. Just read it real quick here. And it says... Now, the topic of this whole lesson is agape love, the opposite of sin. And in a world of self-indulgence and greed, a Christian that lives the life of love is a real contrast. Agape love is the Greek New Testament word for the supernatural God-anointing of love. Agape love is the God-filled anointing of love that displays righteousness, compassion, power, and all of the Christ-like characteristics that the world could never understand. In the King James Bible, it sometimes refers to it as charity, but charity really means love.
Yeah.
Okay, agape is the perfected, mature love that fills us with the inward peace and the outward appearance of the presence of God. And this is really a difference, because a lot of people say, "Oh, well, I'm a Christian. I operate in love." But this is a special love. This is not that simple love that comes from just receiving Christ. This is a love that you yield to and walk in as an anointing of love. And we'll see that here in a minute. Okay? So, in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22 through 26, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is agape love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness." You see, this love is a fruit of yielding to the Spirit, this particular kind of love. Okay? 23, it says, "And meekness, temperance, against such there is no law." Why? Because you are totally operating in the Spirit of God as an anointing on you.
Yeah, well, there's no law against love.
That's right.
If you're in Iran,
yeah,
you show respect and love to those people, and they can't lock you up for being good.
Yep.
They can't lock you up for doing good, and it's, even if they don't believe like you.
Yep.
So that's why I said there's no law against love.
That's right. In verse 24, it says, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh in the afflictions and the lust." So these people that we're talking about here are people who don't feel lust or the driving force that comes from the flesh.
That's a good scripture for you. Do you read that right, verse 24? We was talking about, can I interrupt you for a minute? We was talking about having taken authority over the flesh and being a stewardship. Mm-hmm. Look at that verse 24.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. "And they that are in Christ, they crucify the flesh with the affections and lust." That's stewardship of the Spirit.
That's right.
Stewardship over the flesh.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That comes from See, you can't operate in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time.
No. Nope.
Because they are opposites of
right.
each other. Right?
You can't go right and left at the same time.
That's right. So, if you're operating in the spirit, then you're not controlled by your flesh, you're controlled by your spirit. Okay?
Yeah.
And the opposite is true too. If you're controlled by your flesh, you can't do anything in the spirit because you're not in it. Right? So, and that's what God's trying to tell you here. He's trying to show the difference between being fleshly and being spiritual. Okay? And this is, it is two different things. We're going to really show the separation here in a little bit. Verse 25, and if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. In other words, really live it. Not just talk
yeah.
about
mm-hmm.
being spiritual, but live the spiritual life.
Yeah.
Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Love is long-suffering and gentleness and all. And you can see some of this in Romans 5:5 and 5:13, in chapter 8, verse 10, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1-3.
You got that all mixed up when you said it, Bill.
Huh?
It's Romans 5, verse 5, and then it's Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10.
Yeah, isn't that what I said?
No.
No?
You said it was chapter 5 and 5 and 13 and chapter 8 and 10.
But you explained it so well.
Yeah, yes, I did. I said, hello, Bill. You're not saying what you wrote. You know, now there's, see, remember that verse 25?
See, but you can be in the spirit and hallucinate at the same time.
Well, yeah, but then, remember what it said in verse 25 there? Did you want to read
yes.
that again? And it said, now, if you write this in the spirit, read it in the spirit.
That's right. All right. And then it says, love's warfare with sin is continuous in a Christian's life. The flesh constantly fights against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, both vying for control of your life. So you have two influences in your life as a Christian. You have God's spirit trying to work through you to make you a living representation or a living ambassador of himself, okay? Because you yield to the Spirit. You yield to God, and you do what God tells you to do, okay? See, Christ said that every word he said and everything he did because the Father told him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's doing that with us.
Yeah,
right?
Even if when you making that flesh line up,
yep.
and you're doing it spiritual,
yep.
a saint will tell you, well, you're just doing that. It's, you don't really mean it. You're just doing it. You're just trying it. You don't really believe it. You don't do it all the time and stuff like that. You'll get those fiery darts,
yeah.
but you're doing exactly what the Bible says to do.
Yeah.
Make that flesh get under subjection to the spirit.
That's right.
So you are doing exactly what God tells you to do.
That's
but
right.
saint will say, still tell you that you're not.
That's right. Now, is it easy? No, because the flesh is constantly fighting against the spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit trying to fight against the flesh.
But the more you walk in, the easier it gets.
That's absolutely right. It comes with practice. It comes with yielding. And are there times when you're tempted to do bad things? Absolutely, there are times, you know, when you're tempted to do bad things. But see, when you walk in the spirit comes from God, and God can only do good things. And
yep.
there is no variableness and no shadow of change, right? So when you walk in the anointing of God, you can only do good things.
That's right.
Right? So what he's trying to get you to do is, not only are you saved, but he's trying to bring you up to a new level where you really have a really even closer relationship with him than just simple salvation.
And people would teach that it is simple salvation to do that, but there's a lot of teachers, ministers, evangelists
who don't understand.
No, they teach you, oh boy, it's hard, but you gotta hang in there. Jesus didn't give you nothing real hard.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you people's gonna be martyrs for me.
Yeah.
He told them. He said, but when you go before the king's eye, he said, don't worry about what you say. He said, I'll tell you at that moment.
Yeah.
He said, don't worry about that. That's what he's telling you. Don't worry, because worry is probably the biggest sin in the church today.
Yeah.
He said, don't worry about it. I'll tell you at that moment what you need to know, what you need to do, and you won't be scared. You won't be feared. But if you start worrying about it, by the time you get there, it's going to be going, brrr, your heart is like that.
Yeah.
But you go there,
And I learned a long time ago, when you talk to somebody and they try to observe authority over top of you, just stare right out and look right in the eyes. And boy, that makes them so mad. They get confused and they back down, or they'll yell at you and all. They'll make a fool out of herself.
If you can hold your tongue.
Yeah.
Well, if you can hold your tongue.
Oh, I can.
North.
I keep it right in there all the time.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Do you have to hold his pliers for him?
Oh, my God.
Sometimes.
That's
not what she's saying. She said it correctly. She said, sometimes I talk in the revised version.
Hey.
That sounds all right, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It sounds fine. Okay.
I think Bill's going to use that sometime.
I've recorded it just so I can. Okay. Okay, so then, to build on what we just talked about, now we're going to go to Galatians 6. We're going to go through 8 through 18.
Yep.
Okay, but we're going to jump over a couple of verses here. But, okay, start 8, 9, 10. It says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So once you get saved, if you keep going back to the flesh, what's going to happen?
You're
going to
reap corruption.
You're going to reap corruption.
Because that's what you're walking in.
That's right.
You can't walk in righteousness and reap corruption. You can't walk in corruption and reap righteousness.
That's it. So, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life.
Right.
Now, we just got done talking about the gifts of the Spirit.
Life everlasting,
that's right. So, we just got done talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're getting there. Okay, never mind. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So,
Don't quit.
So that means that there must be a temptation to quit.
Yeah.
Right? So.
I can see when you're sitting there and quit, and a temptation, that could be when you have a trial.
That's right.
And your faith, you think your faith is where it should be, but then things don't happen the way you want them, and then you think, oh, God don't care.
Yeah.
He don't care. But you're actually giving up because you put doubt
in
yourself. Because you're looking at the circumstances instead of in the spiritual.
That's right.
And that's why you can quit.
And when you look at people who have prayed for loved ones and so on, I remember Gladys being here and prayed for her husband for 35 years. I've been praying for mine for 38, you know, and others, you know, and there's lots of others around who are doing the same thing, you know. But, you know, all you can do is keep on keeping on.
That's right.
Because if you quit, you're done.
And praying for others is well doing. For due season we shall reap if we faint not. So,
that's right.
And he said, don't quit.
So, but because if you quit, you're done.
Yeah, you're done.
I mean, there's no chance of getting someone saved that you're praying for. There's no chance that whatever situation you're in is going to get better if you stop following Christ.
You're building a bridge all those years.
All of these years, you're building a bridge. Yeah. You know, one of the things that keeps coming back to me is, how would you feel if you were within a few minutes of getting what you were looking for and you stopped?
Well, you know something, Phil? People don't know it, but they that's where they are. When the worst, where you think it can't get no worse, that's when you're closer to the victory.
Yep.
Closest to the victory.
Yep.
Satan's done poured out everything on you that he can pour out on you, and that's the victory is right at hand.
Yep.
And if they would get taught that and encouraged in that in the church assemblies, there'd be a lot more people getting victory.
Yep. I'm not saying it's easy.
What
I'm saying, though, is it's worth the fight.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the only way you see the victory in the fight is if you're there when the last shot's fired.
Right.
Right.
You got to stand your ground.
Right. I mean, if you're in a big battle someplace, right, and all of a sudden it's lunchtime, we're going to quit, right, for any reason, whatever, you know, you just stop, you know, okay, we're all going home, right. You never see the victory. Your enemies win. Right.
Right.
So it's true of anything you pray for. You pray for financial things or relationships or whatever. You part of the battle is fighting the fight. And that means that you have to dig in and stay there. Verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Right? Mm-hmm. So it means that there must be opportunities while you're doing good stuff. You're praying for other people and stuff like that, financial needs and whatever. It means there's an opportunity there to get weary.
Right.
But you can't allow that to happen. See, that means that you make a quality decision. Right?
You have to make it. You have to make it. Nobody can't make it for you.
That's right.
People can encourage you, but the bottom line is still yours.
You are the one that has to say, I'm going to stand, and I don't care what it costs me, I'm going to stand and do this because I believe this is what God wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's not easy, but you know, you have to make a decision in yourself. This is what I want to do. This is however long it takes.
If God has made the promise, like he did through Jesus Christ, he also made the provision.
Yep.
There's not a promise that God didn't make that he didn't promise anybody that he had made a provision for.
That's right.
And if somebody prophesies over you and tells you, you know, things are going to be great down the road for you because you've already gone through it, that means God's got that provision already set.
Yep.
If he tells you to do something, he's got the provision for you to do it.
Yep.
He said every time there's a temptation, he makes a way of escape.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he said he delivered them all
out
of that.
Right. Yep. So in verse 9 it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In verse 10 it says, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially who are of the household of faith. Now why especially to brothers and sisters in Christ as compared to everybody else?
That's your army.
Yeah.
That's your brothers and sisters.
That's your brothers and sisters. That's your
faithful encouragers.
It's
the meat.
It's like any family. Would you do more for some outsider than for the people in your immediate family? No, you take care of your family first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The children of God have given themselves to Christ, right, by receiving salvation, right? The word says you become part of the family of God.
Right.
Right? So by being a member of the family of God, you have benefits. Now, God's not saying that you don't help the world. It just says the brothers and sisters in Christ get first.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. You wouldn't do any more for someone outside your family than you would for inside your family, right?
Right.
If you gave a brother and sister in Christ, I know there's some out there that will waste it also, claim to be Christians and just waste whatever you give them. I understand that. But the chances of a brother or sister in Christ using it well is better than giving it to the world and expecting the world to use it well.
Right.
Because the world has nothing but the world to lean on.
Right.
So they're going to do worldly stuff with whatever you give them. Right?
You cast your pearl before swine.
That's right.
That's it. So I'm not saying you shouldn't help the world. All I'm saying is the brothers and sisters of Christ get first.
Now, you know, when that scripture Ryan just said about don't cast your pearl before a swine, the swine don't know which one's a pearl.
Right.
So
they just
I never thought about that, but it's
true. Yeah. And the pearl of great price is Christ. Don't take your riches of what you have.
Yeah.
In Christ and go cast them before the world, they're not going to accept it like that.
That's right.
Except the Lord puts on your heart to minister to somebody.
Yeah.
Don't minister to them. Just be godly in front of them. Let your godliness minister to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that hog is already in slop. The world's already in slop up to its ears.
Yep.
They stick their head down there and they're rooting that slop.
Yeah.
And they're always in it. In the slop. A pig is probably the only thing that you can put in the Sinai Desert and he had a mud puddle on the next day, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. So that's what the Lord's telling you. That's a real important scripture that people don't get.
Yeah.
Because the pig don't know the difference.
Yeah.
And he's gonna eat your salvation if you're not careful.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's just like if you're a Christian and you could be in a group of, go to a place where you're not supposed to go, and here you're actually trying to live a godly life, but you're in with people that
you're
aren't.
On Satan's territory.
You're in Satan's territory. If you're not strong enough, those pigs are going to eat you right
that's
up.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what one dance won't hurt.
That's why you see a lot of times a lot of Christians will fall. Because they get with the wrong crowd, and they're not strong enough to stand their grounds.
That's right.
Because the world just pulls them away.
That's right.
And you know, I've seen that happen a lot of times.
Oh yeah, because they get back into the old influences.
Right.
And see, and what have we been reading? Make a break between the world and you.
Yeah.
And you need to do that. It's critical.
It's really life or death.
That's right. And it's your spiritual life and your spiritual
death.
That's
right. That's what I mean, you know, because, you know, you tell so many people, you know, it's, to me, living for God is not hard.
Yes.
It really isn't. Because when you look how the world is living and all the turmoil they're in, I don't want that.
Yep.
You know, to me, it's easier just to, sometimes it's not easy to show love.
Yep.
But still, we have God that we can go back to where the world doesn't have God.
Yep.
You know, when you get a problem, I can go to God directly. Yep. I don't have to go to anybody else. I can go to Him and really express how I feel deep inside.
Absolutely.
But the world, they go to their buddies and it gets worse because as it travels around, it gets changed. And
it's all led by the world.
Right. And Satan just likes to
devour people.
Yeah.
That's right. Devour people. Okay. So in verse, now we're Galatians 6:16. And it says, for as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And henceforth, said the 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 18 it says, and brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Yeah, I think verse 17 is very important.
Yes.
For from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He got beat. Paul got beat 3 different times, 39 stripes. And he had to look like a walking scar.
Mm-hmm.
And since he knew the cause, he says, for henceforth let no man trouble me. So you ain't telling me nothing. I've been there, dude. Look at me. I did this so I can preach the gospel to you. I didn't do this for my own salvation. Look, I stayed here, and Paul even told us that I had an opportunity to go before, but I stayed here for your sake so you can learn of God. He said, you give me a chance to go again, I'm gone. That's easier being gone than to have to get well again. Yeah. You know, when they beat him like that, then they throw a bunch of salt on you and stuff like that.
Mm.
That's not fun.
You're going to be miserable for
a long
time.
That shows right there how they didn't quit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't imagine what they went through.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. None of us really know. We only know what it says here.
Yeah.
But we can't imagine.
We
don't know their pain.
Yep.
You know, were they starving?
Especially like Paul.
Well, Paul was starving. He said so. He said, I've been hungry and I've been fat. He said, I learned how to live with both. Said, I've been hot, I've been cold. I had clothes and I haven't had clothes, but I learned to abase with and without.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, look at the conditions we live in today, but the conditions back then.
Well,
there's so much
live
leprosy and stuff like that for the filth.
It's one of the reasons why you need to lift up the brothers and sisters overseas too.
Everywhere.
Because some of them are really in bad situations. And so it's really important that the brothers and sisters in Christ take the time to lift up the brothers and sisters who are in other parts of the world where they're really in danger all the time. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's also a reason why Sunday schools are so doggone important.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't reach kids when they're little, you have a very hard time reaching them when they're older. Because they get used to walking in the flesh and they don't want to hear about the spirit.
Yep.
Churches who don't have active Sunday school
are missing a big thing.
They're really, really in bad shape. They've really done themselves a
it's the next generation.
Yes.
That you're going to want teaching people about the full truth of God.
Yep.
And they're not getting it, how are you going to teach it?
Yep. Okay. So now I want to do something. I want to read. I'm going to read something to you all.
Okay.
Okay. I've been first.
Put it on our papers.
Not on your papers. I'm just going to read you. This is. I'm going to start 1 Corinthians 12:31.
Okay.
And then I'm going to read through chapter 13.
Okay.
Okay.
You're going to go to love chapter.
Yes. Because I want you to see the introduction. In chapter 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And everybody talk about, well, the gifts are dead and they don't do anything and they're gone from back in the time of Jesus. Well, you can't operate in this love until you've gone through the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit teach you yielding to the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit of God is more than just getting saved, you know? If everybody walked in the Spirit of God, there wouldn't be any sin in the church.
That's right.
True.
Right?
You got
because yielding to the Spirit of God puts you in a situation, a spiritual situation, where you only do good. Because you yield, because God can only provide you with good.
Right.
Right? So if you're truly walking in the Spirit, all you do is good. Right? So in 1 Corinthians 12:31, he makes a transition from the gifts of the Spirit to operating in love. And he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. So he's been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now he's telling you, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
May I say something about that?
Yes.
When he says covet earnestly the best gifts.
Yes.
Whatever gift, if somebody's here and they need healing.
Yes.
The best gift is healing.
Yes.
If someone's here and they need a miracle, the best gift is a miracle.
Yes, that's right.
And so, well, a lot of people say, well, then these gifts, some are better than the others. When you need that, the gift that you need, that's the best gift there is.
That's right.
If you ate lunch and you had a half a sandwich and you needed transportation, and you had a whole sandwich, and you gave half your sandwich to a guy to take you someplace, the best gift you had was that transportation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you could either eat all of this and let that go, or you could say, wait a minute, I need that. That's what I need. That's at the moment. And anything that God has for you at that moment is the best thing that you can possibly get in your life.
Yep.
Just like when you get salvation, when you get saved, that's the most important, the best thing you could have done.
Yep.
Right there.
Right there. But it's the first step.
Yeah,
a lot of people think it's the last step. That's the first step.
That's down in the entrance.
Yes.
But what I'm saying, right then, that's the best thing you could have done, and best thing you could receive was salvation.
Yes.
But they don't know that, like you said,
build on it.
They don't know that salvation includes Holy Ghost, baptism,
yep,
speaking in tongues, and all the gifts,
yep,
you know, the miracles and prophecies and all that. They don't know that then. But they got the best they could get when they received Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And then when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they got the best they could get.
Yep.
And it goes like that right up to now.
Okay. So, let's go verse 31. And then I'm going to go straight into 13. It says, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent one.
Absolutely.
So you're going from salvation to the gifts of the Spirit to love. You see, these are building on each other. Okay?
Well, see, and that's what Paul's saying. He said, and read that again.
He says,
But
covet earnestly the best right. gifts.
Right.
And yet show I unto you a more excellent one.
Now, he's writing this. Remember, Paul's there, he's writing this. And he's saying, now you covered the best gifts. And he said, oh, I'll show you a more excellent way. He said, I'm going to put that in there, because that's what I'm going to write to him next.
Yep.
What he's showing him next is the more excellent way.
That's absolutely right. And now he's going to show you a more excellent way than even the gifts of the Spirit.
He said, this is earnestly the best gifts. And what he said, I'm going to put this here, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. So he writes that in there.
Yep.
And then he tells him the more excellent way. Without love, that ain't nothing.
That's right. And that actually explains the first verse of chapter 13. And it says, that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You see, right off the bat, he says, love is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Right off the bat, the very first sentence. Verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are a stepping stone to more power than even that.
Sure.
Because all the real power in God operates through love. God is love.
Yep.
Your total submission to God is when you start operating in love. That's when the real power comes. Okay? And I am nothing. Verse 3, and it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Okay? Granted, love is better. This love is better than anything. But you need to come through the gifts of the Spirit to spiritually mature yourself enough to yielding to Christ so that you can operate this love. And that's why it's important to show everybody that there's actually two levels of love. When you get saved, you're at a very basic level of operating in love because you're still fighting with the flesh continually. All right? And as you mature in the gifts of the Spirit, you push the flesh aside so that you more and more often operate in love. Okay? It's a maturing is what it is. And now he's saying, okay, now you've got that part done. Now I'm going to really open something for you.
Yeah.
And this is where Paul and all of the apostles were operating at, because they really stuck around and really learned to operate in this no matter what was going on.
Okay? Well, you even see that with the Roman soldier when they come get the Peter to kill. Yeah. I said, I'm not worried to hang on that cross the way he did.
Yeah.
And he said that they hung Peter upside down.
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't worry about that. He gonna die. He said, hey, man, I ain't worthy to hang that way. Do me this way.
Yeah.
Turn me upside down, because I ain't worthy of that.
Yep.
That's right. Love you. I was following what you were saying, how you were building it up.
Yep.
Love now is going to involve other people.
Oh, absolutely.
Big time.
Trent did all this training.
Yep.
And now the more excellent way is involves people.
Right. That's right.
Because you can't reach them people without the love of God being forefront in you.
That's right. That's right.
You can't do it on your own.
That's right.
It's not in you to do it on your own.
And actually, the people part was starting in the gifts of the Spirit, because all of those gifts require you to work with somebody, right?
Right.
If you have tongues and interpretations, you're giving that message to somebody.
Right.
If you're healing somebody, you're obviously healing somebody,
right?
And so on, right? So all of the gifts of the Spirit are bringing you in contact with people, right? Who did Christ come for? The horses of the planet? No, he came for the people, right? So all of these things draw you to people. And now he's telling you, okay, you've been warming up in the bullpen. Now it's time to go up the bat, right? Okay, and now he's giving you the final step here, okay? So he's opening up this whole new level of love. And see, a lot of people say, oh, well, I got saved. I operated love. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think that's where it's at...
You guys say because of love. That don't mean you're operating it.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. You got saved because of love.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to learn love.
Yeah. To walk in that love so you can get somebody else.
So you pass it on to somebody else. Saved. That's it. That's it. So, in verse 3, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love defaults not itself. Defaulteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity. But rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things. Now, Well, it says, believes all things.
All things of God.
Do you believe that evil is good? No. That's not what it's talking about. Right,
but it tells you, like what Pee Wee said a while ago, you know, about going places you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It said, it don't rejoice in iniquity.
That's absolutely right.
So you don't go where you shouldn't go. I've heard people tell me, say, oh, you got that movie. It's only got a few bad words in it.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch a few bad words.
Yeah.
You know, I got saved to get away from the bad words.
That's right.
So if you only watch a few bad words, that's taking you back into where you to be, where you don't have no business being. Because when you first heard a few bad words, and you heard a few more, and you started saying them, and it's really just adding another word to a sentence that's not needed.
That's right.
So when it don't rejoice in iniquity, it said it don't rejoice in unrighteousness. So if you think you're going to go someplace, and then the Holy Ghost is going to be convicting you, get out of there, and you're going to stay there. You chose to stay there, and the Holy Ghost can't just move you, pick you up, make you walk. It's got to be your decision, your choice.
That's right.
And then, like you said a while ago, Phil, that you're going to grow. That's a stepping stone for you to grow.
That's
you
said, right.
Nope. You repent of that mess, get out of there, do about face, and
that's right.
Book.
But this all goes back to making a quality decision. If you do not make a quality decision, you will not grow in this.
Absolutely.
You will not walk in this level.
That's
okay?
Right.
You have to make a quality decision in your life that I am going to live this kind of a life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will everybody do that? No.
Yeah.
Okay? And a lot of people won't even know that it's even possible to do that.
Right.
Right? Okay? But it's something that when you do it, you have to be serious about it. I am going to walk in this. I am going to live this way. Because I believe this is what God is calling me to do. So I'm going to do it with honesty in my heart. Okay? Now, as soon as you say that, the devil's going to be upset with you.
Definitely.
You know?
Yep.
Okay.
Just well, say, we should make the devil continuously mad at us.
Yeah.
That's right. And we will.
Yeah, we do.
Believe in all things, hope in all things, endure all things. That's saying a lot, man.
Yeah. Endure all things? That's
endure
saying a whole lot.
All things. Man, that is a heap, man, right there. Charity never fails. But whether we be prophesied, whether we fail, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, how many times have we heard people say, well, that's talking about Christ, so all of this doesn't matter? No, it does not. It's not talking about Christ. It's not talking about when Christ died, all of these things went away. That's not what it's saying, right?
That's right.
They didn't, nothing go away.
Nothing went away,
mm-mm.
Right? So, what it's
called? It doesn't say that. It doesn't suggest that.
Yes.
Nothing. People do that. They throw a homemade scripture in there, and the Bible says, if you add to this book or you take away from this book, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. And that's adding and that's subtracting.
That's right.
It's not scripture. It's just flat out not scripture.
That's right.
That anything, and there's no evidence, no place ever in there that it was going to stop. The apostles went out, and Jesus said, from this point,
yep.
From Judea, he said, you go into all the world, teach the gospel, you know, preach the gospel, and making disciples out of them. They were Christ's disciples. He said, you make disciples out, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
They were the only pattern to make disciples out of other people from.
Yep.
He said, you tell them to imitate you. And when Jesus said, you follow me, you know, like I followed Christ, and Paul said, you follow me like I follow Christ. Very, very important thing Paul said. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. The only way, no other way. Paul teaches the Holy Ghost, baptism, you know, all the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And so he said, you follow me. You want to imitate me. And Jesus, you make disciples out of them. You make followers of Christ out of them, just like you guys do. So he's telling you, you go out there and teach baptism in the Holy Ghost, tongues, interpretation, all the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and the fruits of the Spirit and things like that. He never suggested to not do it. He only said, do it.
Okay. So, when we look at this in verse 8 through 10, it starts to be explained in verse 11. So, verse 8 through 10 says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That's simply because we don't know everything, right? But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So, when that which is perfect is come, is the word of God, right? And that which was in part is done away with, right? So, as you grow in receiving the Spirit of God, and as you receive all of this growth through the gifts of the Spirit and operating in love, now you received in full. Okay?
Right.
And in verse 11 it says, when I was a child, when I got saved, I spake as a child.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away the childish things, right? Mm-hmm. Living on the edge, right? When you're a baby Christian, you walk like a baby Christian. But now, once you've walked through the gifts of the Spirit and love, this new higher level of love, now you've matured, right?
Right.
And that's what all of this growth is all about. And now we, for now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. That's when you go to heaven with the Father.
But you know something else there, Phil. Read that scripture before that again, because I want to make sure they hear it so I can make a comment on that.
About the children?
No, the scripture, the next to the last scripture you just read.
Well, I mean, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child.
Yeah.
And I understood as a child.
Yeah.
And though as a child, and thought as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly.
Right.
But then face to face, now I know in part,
right.
But then shall I know even as I am known.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. All the miracles, Paul understood all mysteries. He worked in all miracles. And he says, even though I'm doing all that, we still know just part. He said, this ain't all of it.
This isn't all of it.
This is what we're to do here.
That's right.
He said, and another time, Paul said that when he was left for dead and died, he said, I went up to paradise or heaven. He said, I can't tell you which. I don't know if it's third heaven or paradise. He said, but I can tell you this. There's no vocabulary on the planet Earth that can describe what it is. So when he's saying that, see, we know it in part now. He said, I've seen that. So I can say that we only know in part. I can tell you, as good as you see this is, as good as it is to see that crippled man healed, as good as it is to see that person brought back to life, you know, whatever miracle you see, we don't need the pool of Bethesda anymore for the angel to come and trouble the water, because now we can speak it. As good as that is, he said, I got a glimpse of them there. He said, I can tell you, we're still looking through the glass darkly.
Yep.
I can tell you that we haven't seen it all yet. And as great as miracle service, yep. And you know, there's people that follows Kenneth Copeland ministry and goes to all those crusades all over the place. That's vacation and that's retired and follows him. Just like they do NASCAR, there's people that goes to all the NASCAR races and all that, and with their campers and all. Well, Paul's saying, you can follow Kenneth Copeland's ministry and you can see all these miracles. Mm-hmm. You can see all these people prosper. You can see all these people's marriages come back together. You can see all their business that went bankrupt, that they got oodles time more now. They got new businesses that God showed them. And I said, but with all that, as great as that is, he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's a love that's got that's given us this, that agape love, that's going to show us just unattainable things that we can't obtain right
that's
now.
That's right. That's right. If God showed us everything, our heads would explode.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We couldn't contain it.
We couldn't contain it all. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, you work with what God shows you now.
Right.
That, you know, God couldn't even show you your whole life because you would mess it up before you got there. Right. So, So God's giving you, as you walk through life, the bits and pieces you need to know as you go.
Oh, and right? For what you can handle.
For what you can handle.
You know, right? If you see these spoiled brats get everything for Christmas, and they just open it, throw that over there, and open it, throw that over there, and say, yeah, I got one of them, okay, what else? And they open the packages, they don't appreciate them.
That's right.
They're spoiled brats.
Yeah.
Well, if you pray a prayer, and every time you prayed, it got answered, you could end up being a spoiled brat. God don't want you to be a spoiled brat.
Right.
He's answering your prayer, but sometimes just keeping it solid and saying, you're praying, Lord, why don't that person get saved? Like God has did 35 years later, her husband got saved.
Yeah.
And then he thought everybody's nuts and wouldn't listen to him. Because why don't everybody want this? Why don't everybody want this? I said, where you been for 35
true,
years
what
now?
What he said was true, though.
Yeah.
You know, one day... You know, he's not saved, and he can't believe anybody would go to church. And the very next day, it's like, why doesn't everybody do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It was, exactly.
It's true.
The biggest miracle that was, the biggest miracle that was, he just didn't get it. He didn't get it, but he's like where Paul was.
Yeah.
I was a new babe in Christ.
Yeah.
And when Paul was a new babe in Christ, he started putting his life on the line.
Yeah.
Continuously until he left here.
Yeah.
And he just grew and grew and grew. And he found out there was a time to minister, there was a time to be let down a basket over the wall.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't understand that.
Yep.
There's time to get out of town.
Yep.
Yeah. So when he was in Ephesians, in Ephesus, when the goddess Diana, the governor of that town or the mayor of that town said, hey, dude, you got to get out of here. They'll kill you. I know these people. And so Paul said, toodles, said, I'll meet all you other guys in this far away city.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's all the leading of the Holy Ghost. Paul was going to stay there, and I could just about see Jesus saying, what's wrong with him? Father God said, I told him to get out. He said, yeah, no, he ain't going to listen. He said, I'll tell the mayor will tell you, then he'll understand it.
Yeah.
I said, Paul, these people's crazy, man. I know these people. Okay, bye.
Time to leave.
Yeah.
Exit stage left.
Yeah. And God operates like that. Yeah. Sometimes you just can't get things directly from God. And I don't mean you can't get them because you can't.
Yeah.
But I mean, you comprehension-wise,
yeah.
You don't comprehend it. That's just all God telling you in the nicest, gentlest possible way that can be done. And you ain't going to listen because he said, nah, I need to get in there. And somebody said, hey, dude, you're going to die. You're going to get in there, but you ain't going to get out.
Yeah.
You need to get out of here because these people ain't going to change.
Yeah.
You need to come back and preach to them later when they calm down.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, these other people here are rising them up against you because you're cutting into their paycheck, and they don't like that. They want you dead. And they're going to keep encouraging them. Yeah. Just get out of town to a course. Okay, toodles.
Yeah.
And take somebody else sometime to that you can hear from the mentality level that
yeah.
that's earthly
yeah.
that God's speaking through somebody yeah. else to tell you.
Yeah.
You
gotta listen to that word of wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like some people can explain things to you and other people can really explain it to you.
Right.
You know, there's people who can teach you how to do something
right.
and when they're done teaching you don't have a clue what they said, right?
You're just more confused.
Yeah, that's right. But and then there's other people who teach you the very same thing, and you get it, you know, and it's the same deal. Okay, I got a couple more verses. We're going to get to the bottom of page one, okay? Okay.
But that's where we were before.
I know it, but we've done it again, so okay. Twice as good.
It's good.
But okay. This was a review.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right, because we missed 2 weeks. Okay, So we're 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read the last verse, okay? And it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. And these three, but the greatest is charity." Greater than, why is it greater than faith?
Because nothing else is going to work without love. God's love.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Love is where the energy comes from to provide the faith.
Love was what happened on the cross.
That's right. Okay. Now, we're getting there, guys. We're getting there.
Did you read that where I put the star true words tonight had been written to describe the love walk we share with Christ? The love walk with Christ is born as a fruit of the Spirit, not of the flesh. These two realms of forces never mix.
Oh, yes.
Light never has fellowship with darkness, nor does sin and death ever mix with life and the Spirit. Both cases are exact opposite. Then it goes to Galatians 5:14-17. And you got to do that or you ain't going to get to the bottom of this page, Bill.
All right. So Galatians 5:14.
Galatians 5:14-17 at the bottom of the page.
Well, we don't have 14 and 15, though. No. We've got 16 and 17 here. Okay,
yeah, so it was supposed to have been.
I know. It's a misprint. Okay. So Galatians 5:16-17 is what we're going to read. It says, "In this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
Amen.
So how can you walk in the Spirit if you don't understand the Spirit's relationship to the flesh? And that's what he's saying. There's two different yous. Okay? There's the Spirit you inside. You are a spirit living in a flesh container.
Right.
Okay? So the flesh has its will, and you have your will. Okay? So your spirit will is what you need to make more powerful than the flesh will. Okay? And that's what this is all about, is learning the difference between your spirit will and your flesh will. Okay? And that comes with growth. Okay? In verse 17 it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit."
Right.
What is lust? A driving force, an energy, right? So the flesh is forcing against the spirit, and the spirit is forcing against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what do you have to do? You have to make a quality decision, right? I am going to yield to the spirit that God has placed in me, that I am going to grow in the spiritual things, and I am going to put aside the fleshly things, hate, anger, envy, lust, all the rest of that crap in Galatians 5 verses 20 something. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to put away all that lust flesh stuff, and we're going to grow in the spirit stuff that starts down around verse 25 or so. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, it must have been something I heard. If you don't live that way, it's like carrying a dead man on your back.
You got it.
You didn't finish that, because that paragraph for what you're trying to say went to here. The next page.
The next page? What did I do?
You got to read that.
Oh.
That's the flesh and the spirit.
Okay. So on the next page it says, "For these are contrary, the one against the other. The flesh attacking or lusting against the spirit to stop it from doing the things that it would, or from manifesting itself in the fullest way possible. There are two ways to stop sinning. One is to fight the battle in your mind and try to control your flesh with your will, or you can make a determined quality decision to operate in love in Jesus Christ by yielding to the Spirit."
Right.
The first one doesn't work. The second one does.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right?
Mm. That's good.
You can sort of, in your will, say, I'm going to be good today. That don't work.
No.
You have to fill yourself with the Word of God, which strengthens the Spirit of God, which makes you stronger so that you can fight the evil influences.
You can't do it on your own.
That's what they say.
That's what the Word says. It says, not man direct his own steps.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you just keep doing it on your own.
All right.
If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need a spirit man inside of you encouraging you. So you just keep doing your natural will.
That's right.
like Ryan said, you're just carrying a dead man around.
That's right. So that's why it takes the word. You have to put the word in you, and you have to live the word.
And see, that's what they used to do, even in Christ's time. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for life in you. We thank you for your glorious word, Lord. We thank you for growing in you, and that you having the patience with us and teaching us and leading us and guiding us in all truth through the Holy Ghost, Lord. We thank you for your love, your unmatchable love, Lord, that you given to us by you and the Father dwelling in us, Lord, in this temple of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for mighty God, for giving your Son, and we thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the Father and teaching us. We thank you for showing us that the Holy Ghost now is going to teach us all things concerning you, Jesus, what the Father tells him to say. We love you, Lord. We desire to grow in your ways. We desire to grow in your word. We desire to be fruitful in you. In Jesus' name, to your glory forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.